Okay, we're restarting Chavos HaLavos for Women. Today is Zion Iyar. It's Wednesday, Zion Iyar, and we're continuing Shar HaBitachon. So we'll be starting Shar HaBitachon again. You'll hear from where when I start. Zion Iyar Wednesday. I will just allow myself to say that I'm obviously happy this parsha came to an end. I mean, an end in a certain sense, but if for no other reason, then I felt a little not hypocritical, but I felt bad, because we say countless times that the Chavos HaLavos very puts bitachon as not being worried and not being stressed. And so if you say I have, because, and it's such an important yisod, because it's so interesting that he does that, that he does it in Perek Aleph, which defines bitachon in four lines, and you're not stressed, and he says it in the Hagdama, and he says it again in the Hagdama later on. And you know, so he says, oh, Mitzvah Hashem, Bezes Hashem, and you know Hashem is going to send the Yeshua, but you're stressed. You're stressed, and that's not good. That's not good. So it was very, every Wednesday I say, here I am learning, teaching Bitachon, and where's mine? So you work on it. And this, again, it leads to what we say always, Bitachon is mamish, a lifelong task. It's very hard. So you say, what's so hard? I believe in Hashem. Okay, yeah, and I believe that Hashem will do things in the right time, when it's time, you know. I know everything to say. I know all the right words. I said them to myself quite often. But to really not be worried, and to feel someone's taking care of it, as Chavos HaLavos describes it. Look, someone's taking care of it, and it's not up to me, and it's like, it's absurd to worry. That's a really, I don't know if it's a high madrega, but it's higher than the one where I'm holding by. And then you start thinking, but maybe I don't deserve it. Maybe I did something wrong. But the Chavos HaLavos deals with that also. And he says that's a tray for thought. Don't think like that. It's wrong. And then someone inevitably says, but we learned in Vayetze, Rashi says, Yaakov Avinu was afraid, Shema Yigrom HaChet. Right? But that, all the Sfarim deal with that question, and they say that that is unique, and that is unusual, and the Kasha is on Avram, is on Yaakov, at least according to the Chavos HaLavos. And nobody really says differently, because there would be no point in having Bitachon if you were always afraid that because of Chatoim, you know, that might be true. We don't know. So, of course, we should try to be zoche. We want to increase our schusim and stay away from segulos. It's a science to stay away from segulos also. You know, but, you know, it depends. Sometimes, this, you know, if the segula is, you know, I'm giving stock anyway, so I might as well give stock. And who knows? But, anyway, so, Yaakov Avinu is the exception. It's very, you know, when we learn Rashi and Chumash, we take it as the rule. But Yorei, to be afraid, is not a bitachon mode. And so it's a kasha. I think the best teretz that I've heard or seen is of Matasel Solomon's. By the way, everybody heard of Matasel Solomon, maybe the Mashgiach of Lakewood. He has tapes on Shar HaBitachon, and they just printed it into a sefer. His Sfarim are generally called Matnas Chayim. He has Sfarim on many, many things, and they just made a Matnas Chayim Va'adim Al Shar HaBitachon, and it's in the stores, so if you have any interest in that, you could get it. Shar HaBitachon is extensively written about. So he said, his heritage is that Yaakov Avinu, Tzadikim, want to be judged with Midas Hadin. And that definitely, the Chavos HaLavos says, that way of thinking comes from Hashem's rachamim on us. And Hashem created the whole world with rachamim. He saw it wouldn't work. If you just created it with din, it wouldn't work. So he created it with rachamim. The question is, of course, like, we talk about Hashem, like, he didn't get it right the first time, so he tried again. You know. So and the answer is, Hashem wanted to impress upon us. It never really happened. He didn't create the world with din, erase it and start again. It says he wanted to, and then he realized, like, you know, it's almost sacrilegious to talk about Hashem that way. The answer is, he wants us to know. Rashi is revealing to us that Hashem created a world where even though we have Bechira, and we're Zoche to Olam Haba, and we're Zoche to bonding with Hashem, and et cetera, through our own efforts of Bechira, but that everything, the whole ball of wax, is Rachamim. And really, the Chabad Avoda says the same thing in many places throughout the Sefer, that we really can't make it in Midas HaDin. And he has two... we will make it, no matter how good we are, a person... It's depressing, yes, so he says that. So he says two ways to overcome that hump. Two ways. One way is to influence others to be good, and then your zchusim increase exponentially. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Right? That's one way. And the second is just to rely on Hashem's rachamim, and to realize that it's Hashem's rachamim that's getting us there. The reason why would Hashem make such a system? Because we're supposed to be beholden to Hashem. So we think, I'm beholden to Hashem in my parnasa, and in my family situation, and in my relationships, and in shiduchim, but when it comes to ruchnius, I am in charge, because I have bechira, right? So we're in the middle of learning the Chayvus Halvavos, that although that's certainly true, but the culmination of my bechira is totally up to Hashem. Because I can get stuck in traffic, and I could get a flat tire, and whatever I choose to do, you do apply bitachon to the bottom line of doing it, and there is something more special about doing it, not just wanting to do it. Bechira is only in the wanting; the actual carrying out of the will is Hashem's province. But a person could lose sight of that and feel, okay, but Bechira's up to me. Like, and so there's an area for a person to feel he's greater than Hashem. You know what I mean? I'm above Hashem. Because I choose my standing. It's a subtlety. On one hand, Hashem wants us to have Bechira and to deserve what we get. On the other hand, it's never us. So I think the system that Hashem created the world, it wouldn't work by Midas HaDin, and it would only work... I mean, he could have made the whole world work by Midas HaDin. Hashem made the world, right? He could have made a world in which Midas HaDin would not... Right? He could have... Hashem could have made a world in which we could be Zolcha by Midas HaDin. Right, he could have arranged all the taivas in the world, and arranged all the nisyonos in the world, and arranged everything in the world and that would be beautiful, and we would all, and then everything would make so much sense, and we'd be zoich midas adin. Isn't it weird? Not only is it weird to say Hashem wanted to make a midas adin, but then he reconsidered and made a midas rachamim. Not only is that weird, but why? He could have made a world. You can't. When you read the Rashi, you say, yeah, Midas HaDin, that's also him. He didn't have to do it that way. So why didn't he make the world in which we could be Zolcha B'Midas HaDin? And the answer is, because then I pat myself on the back. Because Hashem didn't want us patting ourselves on the back even when we exercise our free will. We're always beholden to Hashem. We're always Botel to Hashem. He is the reason that everything happens, even Bechira. So, you know, you could do it because my Bechira is also, the fact that I have Bechira is from Hashem, but it's really deeper and deeper and deeper. Ultimately, even if I'm a Tzadik Gomer, I need Hashem's Rachamim. Okay, having said all of this, which is really off topic, so Rav Matas Yo Solomon says that Yaakov is the exception. That medrash that we all know, because Rashi chose to say in a chumash, otherwise it would be one of a million medrashim that we never heard of. is the exception, and it's just not, it's not bitachon oriented, and it's because of Matas Yol says, and really I saw a lot of terutzim, and this strikes a chord the most. Tzaddikim want to be judged by Midas Adin. They strive for that. The whole world, okay, but they strive as much as possible. They want Midas Adin because they want to earn their keep more, and they want to serve Hashem more, and so that's it. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu is Yorei Shema Yigra Machet, and the Chavis Halavos does say that the reason it's treif and wrong is because we should be cognizant of Hashem's rachamim. So Yaakov Avinu says, well, Matas Yahu is cognizant, but he doesn't want it. He says, Hashem, I want to be judged with Midas Adin. And therefore, I'm Yorei Shema Yigra Machet. Okay, that's... Anyway, so... It's really a little depressing, really, because you do worry. But it's a lifelong, to mamish not worry is like, you have to be my wife for that.
Well, tell us the story. What happened?
No, that's not for now. No, you got to come to the next Onik Shabbos. All I say is that. All I can say, I'll just whet your appetite. That the story I said in the email is around 20%. Of what really happened.
Well,
I left out.
Email, so.
Oh, that's not right. Nothing. A confluence of events happened. When we went to America for Pesach, this was not on the horizon, the Shidduch. And they say Yeshua Hashem Kerafayim. Sometimes Kerafayim takes a longer. it took 4 weeks. Well, I'm the spoilers of my. Okay, Baruch Hashem, really. Really, Yeshua Hashem. First of all, it doesn't say Yeshua Hashem Kerafayim anywhere. It's a folk saying.
Oh.
That's first of all. It's not Chazal. What Chazal say is Afilu Cheref Chadam Munachas Al Tzavoro Shel Adam Lo Yimna Atzom Min Arachamim. So that's pretty close to Kerafayim, you know. That's not for the class. 10 days after Tisha B'Av. Okay. Again, a Thursday night, Be'ezus Hashem. And, okay. It's a taka story, but you know, every show. That's why she was unmarried. No, she was unmarried. One thing is, you know, how do you cope? This bitachon. But, you know, the Chavos Halevos has the seven things in Perek Beis, right? Seven things in Perek Beis. But what he assumes, and really for us it's like, wow, like I have to think about that. It's not an assumption that we make. Anu and Yusenu, you know, because a lot of us. I think in terms of like you teach your children to cope with disappointments and with even tragedies. You know, maybe we try to shield our children from knowledge of them, but really. The basic hashkofa, I think, what I learned in this to be teaching, is that Hashem has a cheshbon. It's not happening. I told him about my sister. Like, my sister lost a child. The cruelest thing that people who tried to be Menachem Avil could do, and some of them did, because, is to talk about it as if it's random. My daughter is not, because of the Shidduch crisis. That's random. That's real. That's terrible. That doesn't make a person feel good. It makes a person feel bad. That when you're at the mercy, that's his book, New Viktor Frankl. The biggest chizuk you can get is to say that there's meaning to it. He doesn't talk about Hashem, so he talks about what's the name of the book? No, it's a famous book.
Meaning.
And he says that can get you through everything. So just psychologically, he's talking. We who believe in Hashem. Really have such a solid anchor to get to that point, because he's right. I mean, it's a good yisod. If you believe in Hashem properly with the right hashkofa, not just lip service, you can get there right away. You can access that whole book in 1 second because Hashem has a cheshbon. Hashem doesn't do things randomly. If Hashem's running the world, the chinuch in the sheish mitzvahs tmidiyus, in the mitzvah of emuna, it's that Hashem's running the world as part of the basic emuna, right? One of the six You believe Hashem's Amuna. Let me put in a plug. My wife's teaching Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidius at Limurei Ladi this semester. Let me put in a plug for my wife. And she's putting a lot of work into it. So part of it is that Hashem runs the world. Now, once Hashem's running the world, it means there's a cheshbon for everything. And that's, that itself, I think we should teach our children, and it should be a hashkaf in the house. We don't know the cheshbon. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But not only does the plane that we missed crash, sometimes the plane that we missed made us lose out on a $1 million business deal. Hashem has a cheshbon. Hashem has a cheshbon. That's very comforting. I can go make it to my sister. That was very comforting that Hashem did it. We believe in Hashem. And we believe Hashem is Tov. So that in itself is a comforting thought. I don't know. I can't imagine. Now I understand why she had to wait so long. It's all because he wasn't going. Yeah, he wasn't. If this is Haziv, Chayr it is. So he wasn't ready yet. That's all. So he had to wait. She had to wait for him to grow up. Well, boys are more immature than girls. That's part of the problem when the girls date. That yeshiva boys, unfortunately, I mean, I'm generalizing here, and it's not so complimentary. Yeshiva boys are not. The girls are more mature. They're naturally more mature. We see that from bas mitzvah age. We see that from the din of when you become bar mitzvah, and just in life, the way they, you know, the boys in yeshiva, like. You know, all of a sudden I turn around, my son just became 19. And I realized again, I've been treating him really like a 14-year-old. And like in my mind, he never grew up because he's 14 and he's in yeshiva. And all of a sudden I turn around and I say, Nebuch, the kid must be suffering the way I'm treating him like a 14-year-old. He's 19. I'm like, wow. So I took him aside. Really, this hit me. This is one of the good accomplishments of being away and being like on vacation, sort of. You have time for things you don't usually have time for. And I realize he's 19. He was born Hey Ear. The whole country celebrated. I appreciate it. Even though they didn't celebrate it this year, because they celebrated Vav Ear. He's 19. So boys are. Okay, but I'm saying, but boy, so she had to wait. That's all. That's not mentioned in the seven things of Perek Beis, and it's very important because just like he doesn't say in the seven things of Perek Beis, they have to believe in Hashem. Right? He's starting after that. By the way, he's not starting after that. That he develops in the first Shaar. Shaar Bitachon is a structure. Chavos Halvavos is a building. The reason he's able to work with a premise that you believe in Hashem, and that Hashem can do anything, and that Hashem controls everything, and Hashem, blah, blah, et cetera, et cetera, is because, you know, you learn Shaar HaYichud. And then there's Hashem is good. So that's Shaar HaBechina. So you were, and then, right, and then we're beholden to Hashem, Shaar HaVodas Elokim, and then you learn Shaar HaBitachon, and you were ready, if you, learned the sefer like the building, so you already have a very well thought out idea that Hashem controls everything, and you have a very well thought out idea that Hashem is does only tov, meitiv. Hashem is constantly doing good. He's by nature, if you could use the word nature with Hashem, by nature he's tov meitiv. And then Shaar HaVodas Elokim teaches us that the ramifications of us always being beholden to Hashem because he's always being native to us. Now you're ready to do the seven things of Shaar HaBitachon, of the second parak. So I'm saying, I think it's being introspective, maybe we have to always remember Hashem as a cheshbon. So that's how you can reach the madrega of being calm with Bitachon and not worrying. Not because, Hashem, not only is Hashem in charge, but he has a cheshbon, he has a reason. And not only does he have a reason and a cheshbon, but the reason and cheshbon is good. That's hard sometimes when people are suffering and people are in pain. So it's hard to feel that. But that's the avod of bitachon. But that's the avod. So bitachon is not to be stressed, and I am here to announce that I have failed. So Baruch Hashem, the Nisayon is over, and now I have other things to worry about. Okay, let's continue. We're learning Shaar Bitachon, so we're in Perek Dalid, and Perek Dalid lists. See, all these stories are only mechazik. We shouldn't need the stories. Hashem is in charge, and Hashem is running it. The story is like open the curtain, like, you know, like you see the, like it opens the curtain, and you say, oh, look at all these things that had to happen. So it's mechazik, our emuna, that Hashem's in charge. But if we have emuna, we shouldn't need such stories. The stories is a chizuk, definitely. Just like I don't like people say, oh, Yeshua's Hashem Karafayan. I say, boy, Karafayan sort of an awful long time. And I think the reason people like that expression, I'm being harsh, is because, oh, the last minute storybook ending, so you see it's Hashem. Because Mamish, that second the policeman came, that second he fell, that second, but we shouldn't need that. We shouldn't need a Karafayan. I should be able to, like, we shouldn't need Karafayan to believe fully that Hashem is orchestrating everything in our lives. We shouldn't need that. It's Karafayan. Sometimes it takes a long time, like the Chavis Alvava says in Paragimel, in Shaar Bitachon. Sometimes there's many, many, many links to the chain, and sometimes there's very few links. If I would tell the story of this Shidduch and tell all the links that I know of, without getting into where the great grandparents lived, you know. So the link starts with probably, if I was making a play, you know, so the link would start with one of my children making a friend 10 years ago, and they became friends, and then another friend came, and then, you know, and then that friend, so that would be the beginning of the link. So the links are sometimes a lot, many, and sometimes they're few. But the ikar is to know that Hashem is orchestrating events. We shouldn't need. So it's good, but it's good as it says by tragedies. So v'risim esachorai. That's how the Chassam Sofer explains v'risim esachorai ufonai lo yeroo. That we look back after events happened, and we can sometimes understand them. Like the Shoah, rather, my father-in-law, Oliver Shalom, who wrote the book With Fury Poured Out, and even Rabbi Big DeMille, now in the book they put out, Divine Madness, also, like, after the Holocaust happened, we look back and we see the flow of history and where it fits into the flow of history. And, you know, you don't say why it happened, because why, we don't know why, but there are lessons to be learned from it, and we see where it fits in the scheme of Jewish history and why it makes sense to us. So that's Uri'isim Esachorai, but Uponai lo Yero, we can't anticipate events, and certainly we have to try to forestall anything that's not, you know, that's painful and hurtful. But after it happens, then you look back and you say, oh, I understand where it fits in, and I understand what constructive accomplishment came from that. Okay, so we're in Perek Dalet, and Perek Dalet is what we call the workbook of Bitachon, where he gives, it's what they do in, probably in therapy, he throws out cases, and he says, okay, tell me how the Baal Bitachon reacts, how does the Baal Bitachon think if such and such a thing happens, and he made a list of 7 life events, not events, life experiences, and teaches us how to deal with that, and we're up to really the last. So the first was money, substances level, one attitude. The next was money, having more than I need, which is okay. And then number 3 was relationships with people, friends, enemies, employers, employees. Number 4 is mitzvahs. Mitzvahs that he is himself, not relating to others. That's what we're in the middle of. And here he says, as Yesod, that it's foolish and wrong to have bitachon when it comes to mitzvahs. I'll live my life, and Hashem will direct me to do mitzvahs. No, he won't. Not necessarily. He won't. You have to make decisions. You have Bechira. And then he says Bechira is in the... He talks about two levels of consciousness, I'd call it. The decision to do something, which is free will, and then something else that's not so clear. We defined it as making a game plan of how you're going to implement it. And that's also up to me. And then the third thing is carrying it out, which is again up to Hashem. Now, so that's okay. So we learned that, and he went through that, and then so we're up to really the paragraph. It's in Perek Dalet, and it's before Perish Achelek Hachamishi, which is mitzvahs that involve other people. And he's really asking an interesting question here. He's saying, why is there Bechira, really? So he doesn't give the Ramchal's answer that there's Bechira. He says, why did Hashem set up that system that there's no bitachon when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to spirituality? Hashem wants us to choose. So it's very interesting. We would want him to answer what the Ramchal answers. But you have choice, because that's what Yisrocha told him about. But he doesn't say that. He takes the other tack. He says, he's going to say that it's the other way. You can't tell people to choose things that are not bad and evil. You can't tell a person, choose a good parnassa for yourself. This is what he's going to say. We're going to learn this inside. People don't know what a good parnassa is. He takes that tack. That track. It's very interesting. He says, Hashem, you can't have Bechira in things that are not good and evil, because we don't know what's Moil and what's not Moil. He doesn't say there's no point to Bechira in that. That's what's interesting to me. We're used to thinking, because Bechira is Bechira, and that's how we're Zoche to our Madregas and Ruchnius, and therefore Bechira is only good or bad, not chocolate or vanilla ice cream. Right? I had a gneiva in my house over Pesach here. So my wife had some jewelry stolen, and it's okay, she didn't have that much. No, that's maybe why it should have happened, right? So she described to me, she described to me, because she took away the jewelry, she took jewelry with her, it was Yantiv, and she described to me that she remembers deciding which pieces to take with her, and which pieces to leave behind. So I said, and she recalls, let's say it was 10 seconds of indecision, or 10 seconds of deciding. So I told her, that's not tov and ra, right? That's chocolate and vanilla ice cream. So you think you were deciding which piece to take and which piece would get stolen, but you weren't. You know, there was a diun in Shemayim those 10 seconds, which piece you should lose and. It was a din Torah in heaven, and then there was a psak in heaven, and then you decided, because that's not Bechira. So I said imagine those 10 seconds of deciding, there was a diun in Shemayim, which pieces would get stolen or not, and there's a cheshbon, why this one and not that one, this one had sentimental value, this one had more money value, and et cetera, et cetera. So I said, it wasn't you. You didn't decide. It was Hashem decided what you should leave behind, because that's the way it works. So the Chavis HaBavos, though, feels compelled, fascinating to me, to explain why Hashem didn't leave it in our hands to run our lives. Right? We think we do. We think we make a decision what job to take, what school to go to, what neighbors to have. Now, if this Tov and Ra involved, spirituality or not spirituality, then it could very well be Bechira. If I'm deciding to live in a fancier neighborhood where there's not as much Ruchnius, but is, or to live in a lesser but more Ruchnius, because usually they go hand in hand. Alright, so that could very well be Tovra. Or schools for the kids, it could very, In fact, you can make an argument that most things are Tovah Ra. I guess not chocolate or vanilla ice cream. But deciding if you should have ice cream at all or not is Tovah Ra. So he actually feels compelled to explain why, and he says because it's, you can't have bechira in other things, because there's no such thing as, there's no way of knowing what's good and what's bad. Like, what's going to earn me parnasa? I don't know. The garbage man has parnasa, and the doctor doesn't. We know of cases like that. So how can he can leave up for that? He doesn't have the tools. Hashem constructed the world that we don't have the tools to decide. But, and this really relates to another question, because he says, but tov and ra, so the tools are in the Torah. We have the tools. There's tov and there's ra, and it says, v'charta b'chayim. So Hashem can give, that's how he answers that question. It's fascinating that he asks it, and that's his answer. So Hashem can give us the reins, because it's clear. We can't know what's going to earn me a parnasa and what's not going to earn me a parnasa. Which relationship will click and which relationship won't click. Right? But what's tov and what's ra? Yeah. Now, so where does that lead us to the next question? Is that so many times people come and they ask, but I don't know. In this case, I don't know what's tov and what's ra. And that's true. That's why you have to seek guidance, because so many things in life happen. It seems that most of our, we think, because we have a lot of negiyas, so I'm being a little harsh here, but that's the job of a rav. We think that these things, they come up less often than you think. If we would be honest and introspective and try to shake off the negiyas we have, to do what we desire, what we like, to do what's gishmak, or what brings us kavod, or social standing, or whatever it may be. So we think there's a big deal in here, but and so you go to someone who sees it clearly and says, it's not even a shayla. No question, this is the right thing to do. And really, you could have realized it yourself if, but again, you know, the koach of introspection and being objective, that's, objective is very difficult. Anyway, so let's learn inside. Let's go back to text. And I don't know. So, the hefresh. The paragraph starts. It's towards the end of the fourth item on the seven-item list. The hefresh shebein avodas habore yoshor ma'aseh ha'olam. Okay, let's say, I think most people have the English one. The hefresh, did you say a page number?
428
on the bottom. The hefresh, and the difference, Shemein Avodas Habore, Ushor Maise Ha'olam, Be'inyan HaBitachon Be'lukim Yisbarach. So again, it's a funny question, but he asks it. Because we want the Ramchal's teretz. What do you mean? That's spirituality, and that's Olam Haba, and that's Bechira, and that's why we were created. And everything else is like, why waste our time with Bechira? Who cares? But he says, Shesharon Yoni Olam lo nignu lanu alfani hatova hara. Besiba min asivos mi baladesha irusim. We have no way of choosing. When he says tovara, means we have no way whether it'll work or not. I'm choosing if I should do this or that, and we don't have the tools to decide which one will bring the desired result or not. I don't know. In order to choose between them. So we tried. I mean, people tried. This is what people spend their time on. They go to job counselors and they look at statistics and they see, you know, what earns money. Whether the Chavis HaVavis hold that would be normal hishtadlus or... It's only would be proper hishtadlus, it seems to me, to find out that the field is dead. Even though there's someone in this room who's said to me that the field is dead, and then the person got a very busy job, even though they said the field is dead. So maybe we don't even know when the field is dead or not. Okay. V'yoseh ru'uya levakoshos hateref. We don't know. Kilo be'ezes chora, what sells, what's going to sell, what's not going to sell. So we do, people do this. They try because there are entire parnassos which are built on giving other people etzus for parnassa. Right? I never understood. I know I'm being a little silly and naive. Like, why should I go to a stockbroker? If he knew, then he wouldn't be a stockbroker. He would just invest his money and become rich. And as I go to the stockbroker, I pay him whether I win or lose. And I pay him if he sells my stock for me. It doesn't matter if it goes down or if it goes up. He gains. It's a no-lose situation for him. He gains his money. Like, if you thought he knew, isn't that a kasha? Don't answer me. All these guys that sell books, how to become rich on $10 a day, if they could be rich, they wouldn't be selling books, right? I know they want to share their knowledge. We don't know. Therefore, it makes sense. Because maybe he's trying to help us psychologically. We don't know. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to work, what's not going to work. So it's almost like as if we have no choice but to be boteach b'Hashem, because we're rudderless. We're like a ship in the ocean, and we don't know how to feel the ship. But I'm adding to that. We think we do. You know, that's what people spend so much time and energy and trying to figure out what's the, and we don't know. I was just talking to someone many yeshivas have something called a chavrusa tumul. Right? I'm sure you know it because your son, chavrusa tumul, meaning at the beginning of the zman or maybe the end of lezman, boys pair up because learning is in a chavrusa system, and it's a very, very anxious moment for boys, and they get ready for shidduchim that way because they get rejected. and they reject others, and it's a very so you would think at the and there's a lot of angst going on. It's really a very anxious time. I mean, in the big yeshivas, it's very Lakewood spends the first 2-3 days of every zman having the chavrusa tumul. And everybody's thinking, if he learns with him, then I'll learn with him. And then the first say, the second say, that it's a very tense time, stressful, very, very stressful for boys. And there is a lot of rejection. So you would think once it's over and everybody is breathing a sigh of relief that these guys are going to learn together for 10 years, at least 10 years. 8 hours a day, 10 years. They learn four. It's a rarity for someone to learn more than one zman. It's a rarity. You would think you went through so much stress, through so much angst, through so much, he went slow, I want to learn faster, and everybody wants a chavrusa that's a little better than him. And then they learn for one zman, and then they break up, and they go on. So, do we know what's good? Like, we put so much kaychas into figuring out what's good, and then it turns out it's not as good as you thought. So that's what he says. I mean, so it makes sense. Maybe he's talking psychologically. We could feel comfortable with the fact that, I mean, Hashem could have let us look into the future, I guess. Feel comfortable with the fact that there's no Bechira, because we don't have the tools. We don't have the tools to choose what will earn me Parnosa, what will... But, Avala Bodas Habore, that's the next paragraph. Oh, so what do? We do what we do. We do what seems good, and we daven. I think that's a very interesting way of putting it. What seems, what makes sense to us. Achashenes galgalayim and eschanane love. We daven to Hashem. Lahoyer levavenu lebechiras hatova, to pick a good parnasa, to pick a thing that'll bring me parnasa. For real lono mayhem. Avol avodas habori is barach ein enakei. We know what's good and what's not good. He wrote the Torah. He gave us the Torah. We now have the tools. We know good and bad, and we know what's good and what's bad. And again, I'm saying what people think that 80% of their choices in Ruchnius is between good and good or bad and worse is not true. Not true. If you develop the koyach of introspection, you'll see that it's a small amount of choices, and that's only because of lack of yediyah. Because when you go to your mentor or the rav or whatever, many times they'll say, it's not even a question, this is what you should do. And he gave us the ability to choose. We can overcome the Yetzirah. And if we daven to Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm going to sail through life and you send me good choices. Just like I want you to send me parnasa, you send me mitzvahs. We have strain off the path. We have no good. We've got lost. The scholem and fools, as he says, the scholem and bitchoneinu, we don't understand what bitachon is, because Hashem told us, meshek var kodma hoda oso osonu darkei ha'avoda. He told us what to do already. He told us already what to do. Do good. Uvacharta b'chaya. Right? Hinei nasatu lufnechem hayom, rei nasatu lufnechem hayom, it's a bracha, it's a chayim, it's a tov, it's a mobis, it's a ra, and choose good, the bachar to bachayim. Like, what do you want from me? I told you already. Hashem, what should I do? I told you what to do. Hashem, you're relating about the mazer, uvabok, mashomar, ve'etzveno, Hashem, lasos, kol achukum, ma'ilu, li'iris, Hashem, lukhinu, tovlonu, kol ayomim, ve'omar, bigmul, olam, abo, utstoka, tiyalonu, kinishmar, la'asos. So he says, first of all, you don't know what's good and what's bad. And second of all, he's now going to say, even if you do what's good, it could turn out bad. Right? Let's say, okay, I don't know what's good and what's bad, but certainly a doctor is good. Let's say, or whatever. He says, even if you know for sure that this is a good way to earn parnasa, I'm just using this as an example, he says, but many times it turns out bad. For sure, you don't know what's good and what's bad. Second of all, even if you think you know and you do know, but it could turn out differently than you thought. It could turn out bad. The maguna, what you think has no chance of being satisfying or fulfilling, mishubachas. Lo yeotek minyano, doesn't change. This is good. This is bad. This mitzvah will always be good. Doesn't change. So satoru lo tevuchlefes, it will always be good, and this avera will always be bad. Doesn't change because of the times. Okay. Avu masheroi liftoach olav. But when can you have bitachon in mitzvahs? In number three. Number one is the decision. Number two, I'll go with the pshat. I think. Is the game plan how to implement the decision? That's also up to you, and up to you. Why? Because you say, "Why?" If I'm right, so why is it up to you? That's also up to Hashem, because Hashem always gives us ideas. And how do I figure anything out in the world? Hashem gives me the brains to figure it out. The answer is, I think it's a manifestation of the decision being serious, being real. Look, I want to get up tomorrow morning. Oh, you really do? Tell me, how are you going to do it? Oh, I'm going to set an alarm clock. Okay. But if you're not able to do that second thing, say, I'm going to set an alarm clock, so, you know, it's really, I wish I get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to sleep, and I want to get up tomorrow morning. No, you don't, because then you would have taken steps to get up. Whatever the second madrega is, it's. But the point of the Chayit HaBavis is that Bechira is in the mind. And now he's saying, what we really need bitachon to be botech Hashem, that our bechira is implemented, that I get to do the mitzvah. That's a whole other story, and there's a lot of ways that it might not happen, and that Hashem decides. Hashem decides if you're zoka to be mafaka b'chola, to help the people, to help the person. Right? Sometimes we're frustrated for any number of reasons. It doesn't work. We're not able to. So that's what he said. That is, you're back to bitachon. So in mitzvahs, number four on the list, two-thirds of it, as he puts it, into three. So two-thirds of it is up to you. I don't want to catch you having bitachon in that, he says. And the third thing is a subject for bitachon. Acha b'chirosa b'leif sholim b'nemon, you've decided to do it, v'haskomo v'hishtadlos b'bor leibo, in your heart of hearts, Okay, now he goes off like for a few sentences on a tangent that you have to daven to Hashem. It's okay to daven to give you the correct bechira. He deals, okay, we'll stop here. He deals with this issue a few times in the Sefer, and it's very interesting to me how every time he deals with it, he gives a different answer. They're all good answers, but he just deals with it differently. And that is, why do we find in David HaMelech and Tehillim that David davens hat libi la'avodos echa, you know, and we say in our davening, Hashiveinu b'nusar osecha, we have the tefillah of Hashiveinu, and we're asking Hashem to. So what is that? Are we asking Hashem to guide us, to not put obstacles in our way? he says different terutz in other places in the Sefer. Here he's saying, I'm asking Hashem for that third level. I want to do chesed. Please Hashem, because that's already up to Hashem, and there's a subject for bitachon and for tefillah. So please Hashem, let my desire to do chesed materialize. So again, if you're just sitting there rocking in a rocking chair and saying, I want to do chesed, so that's not really bechira. You didn't really do anything. It means that's what I think is number two. But whatever the prat is, but it means a firm decision. Like, I want to do this, and I'll do what it takes to get it done. I really want to do this. You really made that bechira. So then you doubt. So the David HaMelech's tefillos, and many of ours, not many, but a number of ours, is please Hashem, let it happen. Let me be the vehicle, because that's a schus in itself. I'm the vehicle to bring goodness into the world. Because I could have my personal bechira, but I haven't done the world any good. Right? I mean, that's one way of looking at it. I haven't done the world any good, but when it happens, and I do the chesed, I give the money to tzedakah, I help the ani, I help the Moshe Torah, I do the chesed, I decide I'm going to daven every day. Let's say a woman decides she's really going to carve out time for davening, you know, 15 minutes in the morning. I don't know where you're going to get it from, but the same place you get the ingredients when you whip a cake together when you have nothing in the pantry. So you carve out 15 minutes to daven, and according to me, the second level is you figure out when and how it's going to work and that it's really going to happen. And then you ask Hashem, please let it all work, let it all click. And then again, that is a madrega. I explained the madrega. There's more schar, as the Lama says. And really, that's pretty. More schar is always a reflect. Whenever you see the word more schar, you say, we're not supposed to think about schar. So first of all, we do. Anyway. And second of all, more schar is always a reflection of how good a thing we're doing. If the more schar means it's a better act, it's a more spiritual act, it bonds us to Hashem more. Because that's what the schar is. So moschar really just means that. It doesn't have to be the good fancy word for that. Pecuniary? No?
Pecuniary.
Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Okay. Pecuniary. My father, Allah Shalom, read the New York Times religiously every day. Nowadays he wouldn't anymore. But then it was like the Bible. And he knew a lot of English words that he would mispronounce. We would like make fun, like we were trying to guess what word he means. But now I'm the same way. I'm my father. So anyway, it doesn't have to be pecuniary. It could be, because it's always a reflection of how spiritual an act it is.
Rabbi, okay? We just heard from this about that. The situation is under control, but it's not mine.
Not my control.